This is Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
JBL Tour Pro 3 earbuds are for those who don't conform to the standard.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get into some touchscreen technology, how about the smart charging case, clear sound? These are not standard things. You're only going to get them with the JBL Tour Pro 3, baby.
And I love the sound of JBL when it goes... These earbuds are packed with innovation because you can't stand out by following others.
Touchscreen smart charging case for one-touch control, instant EQ customization, true adaptive noise canceling, and the one-of-a-kind audio transmitter, which can plug and play with everything from game consoles to in-flight entertainment. What more could you want? First doesn't follow. Grab a pair at JBL.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Ukraine crisis, Syria crisis. I welcome Josh Rogan. He writes the global opinions column for the Washington Post. The question of Vladimir Putin, war criminal, the president of the United States has voiced to the secretary of state. Certainly the leaders of NATO and the EU are sympathetic to war crimes in Moscow because of Ukraine crisis. But I learned from Josh, connecting the dots, that Vladimir Putin and his lieutenants have been war criminals for more than a decade. Where? In Syria. Syria. And one of the revelations in Josh's columns that Ukrainians can welcome is that you want to know how to fight Russians? Talk to the Syrians who fought them all these years. Josh, the Syrians were visited by Vladimir Putin's forces almost at the invitation of many other nations who are allied to the United States, including the United States. This is during the Obama administration. Their perpetration of war crimes. Where is that story of the barrel bombs and the use of cluster bombs? Where is that investigation? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John. You know, it's been 11 years. The Syrian revolution marked its 11th anniversary last week. And for all of those 11 years, hundreds of thousands of Syrians have been victims of horrendous war crimes, crimes against humanity, ethnic cleansing, mass torture, mass murder, all of that stuff at the hands of the Assad regime. And for the most recent 7 years of that, since 2015, that has been perpetrated in conjunction with the Russian military directly. And there's a mountain of evidence to show that Russian planes targeted hospitals, that Russian planes intentionally killed first responders, that Russian military forces participated in the starvation sieges and of towns like East Ghouta and Dara and Homs. And of course, the Russian government has starved out refugee camps by denying them aid and all of that stuff. So there is such an extensive record of Russian war crimes inside of Syria. And again, under the law that governs such things, that responsibility goes all the way up to the top of the chain of command, Vladimir Putin himself, that when the war crimes designation came out in about Ukraine after only 28 days of the war, the Syrians were like, wow. 28 days, you know, it's been 7 years. We still haven't heard anything about the Russian war crimes in our country. But that being said, what their message was that, you know, we're the expert in being victims of Russian war crimes and we know everything about it. That can be as simple as, you know, how to take a cluster of munition out of a building when it lands but doesn't explode. Or it could be as complicated as how to prosecute the colonel who gassed children and now is living in luxury in a foreign country. And, you know, on that latter point, you know, it's a larger question, but the lesson here is that, you know, there is no statute of limitation on crimes against humanity and war crimes. And the most important thing is documenting the evidence and building the file, and that Ukrainians should know that based on the Syrians' experience, justice comes very, very, very late if it comes at all, but there's no point not seeking it. And without real truth and justice and reconciliation, there can be no peace. And in fact, in Syria, there is no peace. So these are some of the lessons that Syrians are willing to help the Ukrainians learn right now.
To clarify, the targeting of schools and hospitals, the maternity hospital in Mariupol, the attack on civilians, that's Russian policy. Is that what you've learned from the Syrians?
not only is it Russian policy, but it, these are tactics that the Russian military practiced on Syrian civilians over and over again until they perfected them. In other words, not only can they not claim they didn't know what they were doing, they got much, much better at killing civilians over 7 years in Syria. They tested, according to the Russians themselves, over 300 different types of new weapons against civilians in Syria. Okay. And now we're seeing the results of that. And that's the point. That point is that if you let war crimes go unpunished, the war criminals eventually expand those crimes. And that's exactly what happened. But as you noted, nobody really did anything about it in Syria. And that's why, you know, we act so surprised when we see the Russians doing all these horrible things in Ukraine. But Syrians are not surprised. You know, they understand it perfectly. And, you know, you have to imagine that if we had done something to stop those war crimes, protect civilians in Syria and hold the Russians, including the Iranians and Hezbollah and the Assad regime accountable, that they would have gotten some sort of message that they couldn't get away with it again in Ukraine. But that's too late. We are where we are. So the best thing we can do now is make sure that we protect Ukrainian civilians as much as possible, and that part of that is documenting the evidence and preparing for an international legal struggle that will last decades. And the other part is giving the Ukrainians the weapons to defend themselves. And I think right now we're lacking on both of those parts.
The Secretary of State, Mr. Blinken, is the stepson of a Holocaust survivor. This is Josh's reporting. And the Secretary, overwhelmed and challenged by the crisis in Europe, also notes that there is atrocity underway in Burma against the Rohingya minority. And the report is this is the eighth genocide since the Nazis, since the 1930s and 1940s. And what is to be done, Josh? What is the State Department capable of or willing to do?
Right. Well, it seems that when it comes to mass atrocities, the many administrations, not just the Biden administration, but administrations of both sides have done exactly the bare minimum. And they talk a lot about preventing mass atrocities. They talk a lot about accountability and justice. They're to throw some money at the problem and then basically turn away. And the example of what's now officially by the U.S. State Department called the genocide of the Rohingya Muslims in Myanmar, that was an atrocity that happened in 2016 and 2017. So like the Syrians, they look at Ukraine and they're like, wow, look at how fast they got some action. And we're 5 years, 6 years into our war crimes and crimes against humanity. And you're just now calling it a genocide. At the same time, they're appreciative. Like maybe Ukraine is the thing that wakes up the West to say, oh, wait, you know, we got to do something about these mass atrocities. It's not just a human rights issue. It's a security and stability issue. And so it's a ray of hope for the Rohingya and other minority groups who are still being tortured and murdered and raped and having their villages burned down by the Burmese Myanmar junta, which seized power in a coup. The eighth genocide since the Holocaust. That was Antony Blinken's comment while he's announcing the Rohingya genocide declaration at the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum. Again, as you noted, his stepfather was a Holocaust survivor, a famous author, activist. And you have to think that, you know, in Tony Blinken's heart of hearts, he wants to do more. But the unspoken but obvious truth is that, you know, the Biden administration, U.S. government, and in some parts, the rest of American foreign policy establishment is weary of intervention. And it's politically unpopular, even when you have somebody as evil as Vladimir Putin. And their instinct is to be risk averse. And that's why not just on the war crimes, but also on the arming and the sanctions, they only escalate incrementally because they're trying to prevent the problem from getting worse. But I think what Tony Blinken's stepfather would tell you is that actually makes the problem worse, because the only thing that dictators and war criminals understand is when you stop them in their tracks, and you know that some sort of calculation of escalation that involves not standing up to these mass atrocities eventually comes around to haunt you.
We have less than a minute, Josh. What is your measure now about the language of war criminal against Vladimir Putin? We've had that strange announcement how he's going to attend G20. What is the thinking if he tried to do such a thing? Would he be arrested?
Not only would he not be arrested, if he's allowed to, you know, sort of just go on living the life of a normalized world leader, it pretty much undermines the credibility of the tag war criminal in the first place. I mean, just think about it. If you have a even other world leaders who are, even if they didn't get prosecuted because of the impotence of the UN Security Council and the International Criminal Court and all of that, all of those reasons that these prosecutions never happened. At least it's supposed to make you a pariah.
Right.
You know, and if that it doesn't even do that anymore, then it's basically a useless utterance. OK, so, you know, the Biden administration is very vocal about its advocacy for human rights. But you know, the proof is in the pudding and you have to actually follow through. And sometimes that means elevating the status of these issues and taking a little bit more risk because you realize that war crimes are better stopped earlier than later. You know, and, you know, if Vladimir Putin is able to proudly wear the tag of war criminal, well, then imagine what other despots and monsters around the world will rush to wear it next.
Josh Rogan, Washington Post. I'm John Bash.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious to buy chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.